Good morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from the studios here at 501 Opelousas Avenue. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer, bringing you another study from God's Word. And we've been coming out here many, many months now and bringing you Thus Saith the Lord. We're looking at a study on the blood redemption. We've been there for quite a while. We're coming down to the end. We only have two or three more studies. And then we'll pick up another subject and go on with God's Word. But let me ask you, would you do this? Would you sit down and write me? My mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And help me with the broadcast if you can. Also, you can tell your folks we are broadcasting now over the Internet every Sunday morning from 10 till 11, and then from 11 to 12. We have live broadcast here, Central Standard Time. The Trailblazer comes on every morning, Monday through Friday, from 8:45 to 9. And our call letters are www.wlno.com. That's our flagship station here in New Orleans, and they're streaming now over the Internet. If you need more information, if you write me or call me, I'll be glad to give it to you. We're bringing you a series of messages, as I said, on blood redemption, and we're looking at the fountain of cleansing. We were there in our last study, and time after time, we're bringing you God's message, and I wish you'd pray for me. Would you do that? Oh, listen, my friend. We're talking about the fountain of cleansing. Everyone who's ever entered that fountain wants to talk about how he was saved. That's what I'm saying. Folks entered there, many of them have entered into experiences and dreams and visions. Those things don't mean anything. Bodily healing, none of that means anything. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That fountain is open to you if you'd come repenting. And my friend, you'll never cease talking about that fountain filled with blood. Now, why won't you come? In the first place, you don't want to come, do you? The average individual does not want to come. The Bible says man loves darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. His deeds are evil. Also, you love this present evil world, and you never seen your need of a cleansing. You know, no sinner wants to be cleansed until the Lord shows him his heart. That's right. You find yourself in need of nothing. You're like the old rich farmer there. Your barns are full. You settled in there. You're satisfied with what you have. Yes, lost and not know it. Unsaved, let's put it like that. You're not saved, and you don't know it. You're on your road to hell, you don't know it. And you don't want Christ, no. You don't realize that Christ is your substitute, your Savior. You've been blinded by the God of this world, and you see no need of salvation. Now, we might well be honest about it, folks. The old Trailblazer doesn't beat around the bush to bring you God's message. Doesn't beat around the bush to tell you how God saves a sinner. Doesn't beat around the bush when you're calling sin, sin. Now, let's look at this thought. Who can come for cleansing? Who can you answer that question? Who can come for cleansing? In short, anyone who feels his need and will come. Now, let's look there at Zechariah 12:10 again. We quoted it last message or two. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Then it says, in that day, what day? The day that they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him. And in that is the bitterness of his firstborn. In that day. I want us to look closely at that phrase now. In that day, when the sinner comes to feel his need of Christ, he so wants Christ until he's mourning after him, crying after him. Nothing else will satisfy him but Christ. In that day that he cannot live without Christ, that day that he will enter into the fountain, that day will he enter into the fountain of cleansing. Now, I've made this illustration here in trying to tell folks when a man will be saved. I'm thinking about in cooking. I like to cook jelly and preserves, and a lot of it you have to boil it. And the direction says, bring it to a boil that you can't stir down, and then it's ready. Then it's ready. Do it for so many minutes. Apple jelly, a plum jelly, or strawberry jelly. Those things. It says bring to a boil that can't be stirred down. And that's what I say. When a child, when an individual comes to want the Lord so much, so greatly, that he can't be quieted, he can't be shut up, he can't be pushed stirred down, then that's the day. That's the day that that fountain will become open. Oh, man, my friend. That day, that fountain of cleansing is open wide. And I want to tell you something, my friend. All of this little believingism stuff, this little free willism stuff that's poked off and blind, on our blinded humanity for salvation, it was poked off on me one day. A little young preacher said, come on down to the front and give me your hand. You'll be saved. And I thought that for many months and many years until the Lord took the message home to my heart, a message like I'm bringing to you, a man that was true to my soul, a man who was not afraid to buck tradition, a man who was not afraid to stand up and tell Satan to go to hell. No, my friend, I can't do that. I can't give you that soft soap stuff. It's Christ or hell. Listen, my friend, listen. It makes me fear and tremble when I see the emptiness and the shallowness of what we're facing in our modern-day religious circles. We have folks building bigger churches, building taller steeples, and building bigger parking lots, building more recreation halls, but they're not coming to know the Lord. Those folks have no testimony. I've been there. I know. I talked to them. I talked to a man the other day who said he attends a church in Texas where they have 30,000 members. And I said, are there anybody getting saved? Oh, yes, they're getting saved. I said, well, how do you know that? How do you know? He said, well, they've got 24 preachers on the staff. I said, that don't mean a thing in the world. Are they getting saved? Do they have a testimony of saving grace? Christ said in the closing chapter of Luke, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and faith are the means of grace to enter into this cleansing fountain. Does your preacher preach repentance? Does he? Does he name repentance? Does he know what repentance is? Do you know what repentance is, my friend? What is it? You say, old trailblazer, what in the world is repentance? Well, I tell you what it is. When the Lord begins to deal with your heart, lets you see yourself lost and undone and on the road to hell, unworthy, there's an admittance. There's a confessing of sin. And when you see that you've been rebellious all your life and guilty and doomed and damned, and yet you've covered it up and made a show of yourself, and there comes a confession. There comes a taking the blame when you've been proud peacock there, hook and bull in your church. You've been this and you've been that on this committee and that committee, and people looked up to you and gave you high signs. But listen, when the Lord begins to prick that heart, as old Peter said, they were pricked in their heart. When your heart becomes pricked, my friend, and you begin to look inside of it there, it's opened up a little bit to where you can see in it. The scales are taken off your eyes, and you see how wicked and how corrupt and how terrible a person you are in God's sight, not in the world's sight. The world looks upon you as somebody come, but you see. You begin to see for the first time all of your years. You may be a lad of 16. You may be an old man of 100. You may be 80, 50, whatever you may be. But all these years, your eyes have had a scale pulled across them where you couldn't see anything within. No, you made excuse for your old terrible hellish nature. You made excuse for your wine, women, and song. You made excuse for everything in the world. But now, when the Holy Spirit pulls those shades back off of your eyes and lets you look within that heart, you come confessing, 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 and that's repentance. That's repentance, my friend. Oh, listen, true repentance is always manifested by sorrow of heart, a great mourning and bitterness of heart. I'm not talking about going around with a long face. I'm talking about an inward work of the Holy Spirit. And that soul that's been awakened finds time to be alone out there somewhere in the woods or on the back porch or somewhere out there in the closet, finds time to get alone. Oh, my friend, I know that the modernists think nothing of repentance. They don't think it's necessary or that it's only a change of mind. Oh, it's just a change of mind. It's just a change of mind. Just turn over a new leaf. Well, my friend, an old dead dog can't turn over a new leaf, can he? That's what you and I are by nature, just a dead individual. We need to be made alive. We need for the truth the life of God to enter into our heart. But my friends, true repentance is a deep, radical, fundamental, lasting change, which is always accompanied with a sorrow that can only be described, as Zechariah describes it, as one mourneth for his only son, and that shall be in bitterness for him that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And it goes on to say, there shall be a great mourning. To the average church member, there's no change of heart. There's no change of mind. He lives like he always did, only now he's got a cloak of religion. Steeped in religion, my friend, and 2-4 more, the child of hell, with his name on some church roll there like I was one day, been baptized and dipped and polluted that baptismal pool, nothing but a sinner. Went down a sinner, went down a dry sinner, come back up a wet sinner. That's what you are. If you've never been saved, oh, my friend, listen, the individual who can look back on his life with pleasure, look upon his idea of returning to his old sin without an inward loathing and disgust, has never repented. That individual never repented. I hear folks pop off, men pop off about their sowing their wild oats when they were children or young men, how they came up, how much nightlife they enjoyed and this and that and the other and all of those things that I won't get into today, but they know nothing about the Lord. If you can brag about your past life, my friend, you don't know nothing about the Lord. No, you're ashamed. God's child is ashamed of that life. He don't want to talk about it. He wants to talk about the new life. Oh, listen, my friend, listen. God's child never mentioned, because he's seen how degraded he was back there before he was saved, how that he hated God, how that he run after the things of the flesh, the lust of the flesh and the pleasures of life, and how that Satan had him by the nose leading him into sin and all of the wickedness that he was in and the wickedness of his heart. Oh, listen, my friend, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not going off on a tangent this morning. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit coming to you. You find you there. The Holy Spirit may find you there, wherever you are, in your penthouse or in your outhouse or wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're in the slums or in the penthouse. If the Lord comes to your heart by the Holy Spirit and probes your heart, pricks your heart, and lets you begin to see just a little bit of what's in your heart, then that works repentance in your heart. You come to abhor self. That's right, old self, my friend. You never let anyone brag on you. Folks sometimes try to brag on the old trailblazer. Oh, no. Don't brag on the trailblazer. I've seen myself too much. I've seen the wickedness of my heart too long ago. You know what you want to do? Brag on the Lord. I brag on the Lord. I brag on his grace that I find in my heart day by day. Oh, the grace of God that brought me to where I am today. Paul said his grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter, my friend, how low you are this morning, how high you are. The Lord's able to bring you. The Lord's able to bring you to that repentant state, to where you give God all the glory. That's what happens when the Lord saves a sinner. All that vanity. Oh, everything is vanity, Solomon said, isn't it? But listen, would you look around? Would you take just a moment to look at yourself? Would you just ask the Lord to show you your heart? Have you ever seen your heart? Have you ever seen your old wicked spirit? How mean, how cussed you are, just an old cuss. That's right. That's what I am. That's what I've always been, just an old wicked cuss. But the Lord took away that wickedness and washed it away in his blood. That's right, in that fountain of cleansing that we're talking about. Washed it away and left it cleaner, whiter than snow. My friend, this is the old trailblazer. We've got, I think, two more messages, two more studies in this series, and then we'll pick up another one. Come on, go on down the road with it. But look, what could I ask you this morning? Would you take time out to stop and write me a note and tell me that you're listening? Give me the call letters of the station. I need to know if anybody's listening to some of these stations. I may have to take them off the air if the finance doesn't pick up, and I don't want to take one off if you're listening to it. But would you do that? And if you could, help me with the broadcast. Send me a dollar or two or five or ten or whatever you can send. And say, old trailblazer, I may not agree with everything you say, but you're bringing God's message to my heart. Remember, my mailing address is the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis saying it's been good to be with you. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.